All right, so we're recording now. Today I have on some very special guests. I have Mr. Saeed Hamidan and Dr. Khalaf Al-Kaabi from the Arab Struggle Movement for the Liberation of Al-Ahwaz. And today we're going to be documenting their struggle, a decades-long struggle against Iran, and learn a little bit more about them. So appreciate you guys for coming on. And yeah, if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Pleasure, sir.
No. طبعا انا سعيد حميدان رئيس حركه النضال العربي لتحرير الاحواز منذ 2020 يعني اصبحت رئيس للحركه بعد ما تم اعتقال رئيس السابق لحركه النضال 2 فبراير 2020 من ثم تم اختطاف رئيسها السابق سيد حبيب السيوي 9 أكتوبر 2020 فأنا أصبحت رئيس حركة النضال منذ 26 أكتوبر
So Mr. Saeed introduces himself. He is the president of Arab Struggle Movement for the Liberation of Al-Ahwaz. He is now president after Mr. Habib Jabir, who was detained in Denmark in February 2020, and then after the kidnapping of Mr. Habib Asyut in Turkey, and then he was headed over to Iran in October 2020. So on October 26, 2020, he became the president of ASMA.
Okay, and Dr. Khalaf, if you'd like to introduce yourself as well.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Khalaf Al-Kaabi. I'm head of the Foreign Committee of ASMLA. I was just I joined the ASMLA from end of 2005 till this moment, looking after the international relations and of course, part of the ASMLA as a member of the executive committee as well at the same time. Yes.
Okay. And Manel, if you want to introduce yourself as well, I know you're part of this too.
Yes. My name is Salmi. I'm collaborating with the leaders of Ahwaz movement. I started collaborating with them in February 2020. So we organized a series of conferences and meetings with international leaders, as well as European leaders. And we have an organization named the European Association for the Defense of Minorities, in which we defend the minorities in Iran, but also in the Middle East, which are persecuted by the Iranian regime or persecuted by extremist movements.
Okay, great. Thank you all for the introductions. Now, I want to start right here. Could you explain a little bit about ASMLA, like the background of the organization, how you got started, and why there was a need for something like this?
أستاذ سعيد الصحفي بيسأل يعني كيف ابتدأت أسملة يعني الحركة كيف ابتدأت الحركة يعني شو هو تاريخ الحركة وشو يعني أهداف وأنشطة الحركة
طبعا هي تعرفون أنه الدولة الإيرانية أو النظام الإيراني يمنع جميع تحركات الأحزاب داخل الجغرافيا الإيرانية فطبعا منعنا احنا كان عندنا حزب وكنا نعمل في اطار الدستور الايراني باسم حزب الوفاق ومن ثم منعنا من العمل لاسباب يسمونها اسباب امنيه لكوننا نحن احوازيين فلهذا السبب فاسسنا في 1999 اسسنا حركه النضال العربي لتحرير الاحواز في نوفمبر 27 نوفمبر وهذا حركة النضال هدفها الرئيسي هو أنه وقف الإعدامات في الأحواز ضد السياسيين الأحوازيين وقف الاحتغالات العشوائية وحق تغرير المصير للشعب الشعب الأحوازي
So the Arab struggle movement started within the Iranian territory, but the Iranian regime denied them the right to work on its territory as a political movement, because they don't permit to opposition movement or to Ahwazi movement minorities to be represented there. After that, in 1999, the movement was started in 1999. After that, the leaders of the movement decided to work outside Iran in order to defend the Ahwazi community rights, especially after human rights violations, arbitrary penalties or death penalties, and also to stop the regime from inhumane treatment towards minorities and Ahwazi in particular.
يعني هو طبعا كما تعرفون وكما المنظمات الدولية وبالأحرى الأمنستي إنترناشنال تعطي كل سنة إحصائيات, إيران ثاني دولة في الإعدامات في العالم يعني ما من بعد الصين. يعني إذا أردنا أن نقارن جمعية الصين وبالنسبة للإعدامات نرى إنه إيران هي أول دولة في العالم اللي تنفذ الإعدامات, وهذه الإعدامات كلها تأتي في مناطق الشعوب غير الفارسية وبالأحرى في منطقة الأحواز. لماذا في منطقة الأحواز؟ لأنه الأحواز هو يمتلك ثروات طبيعية وثروات النفط والغاز, وهي السلة إيران في المنطقة. إذن 85% من النفط والغاز والثروات والدخل القومي الإيراني هو يأتي من الأحواز. إذن أي عمل سياسي في هذه المنطقة يترجم بأنه عمل ضد الأمن الإيراني, لا يسمح حريات للشعب اللي عايش هناك, لا يسمح أنه يدرس بلغته باللغة اللي هو يتكلم فيها.
So Mr. Saiden spoke about death penalty in Iran. Iran is classified according to Amnesty International as the first country in the world which executes death penalty. And death penalties most of the time are directed to opposition leaders, but also especially minorities, including Ahwazi, Turks or Kurds or whatsoever, Baluchis. The Iranian regime is so brutal towards Ahwazi, because in the Ahwaz there is 85% of oil and natural resources that belong to the Iranian regime, and they have this policy of displacement, this policy of death penalties in order to monopolize the oil and the natural resources which are situated in Ahwazi territory.
Okay. So moving on from that, I did want to ask as well. So you mentioned that Iran targets dissidents. So have both of you had experience with that? I know, Saeed, you were jailed for your activities, and Dr. Khalaf, you were arrested several times for your dissident activities, according to them. Can you elaborate a little bit on that and just kind of explain that experience? I guess, Dr. Khalaf, we'll start with you.
Well, I think let me just focus on a few things. You know, imagine 12 million Ahwazi people are suffering from thousands of difficulties, such as poverty, prison and torture, displacement, and the indiscriminate executions. You know, the regime is damaging the environment purposely to push the peoples out from their homeland. We are, you know, struggling for our people's freedom and dignity. You are hearing me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, and we are trying to just convey our people's voice to the international community in a different way. This time, we are fully aware that the United States could play a crucial role in connection with our legitimate struggle. One of the regime's, you know, conspiracies against the region is to wipe out Israel from the map, for instance, and dominate over the Middle East countries in the process of time. From this standpoint, we keep our struggle for the regime change in Iran. This is one of our most important goals. This is our goal at this stage. We are in all respects ready to prepared to cooperate with anyone that wishes to change the regime in Iran and replace it with a democratic regime, which understands the value of humanity and the fraternal relation with all nations around the world. The regime is buying loyalty of others by money, unfortunately, which is one of their political tricks. And unfortunately, some countries or political figures fall in their traps. So this is one of the most important points that we are trying to convey to the international community. Let people understand that the brutal regime of Iran doesn't understand the democratic, doesn't understand the humanity, doesn't understand the value of human. They are just killing people. Thousands of our youth are in their notorious prisons nowadays, today. And they are executing people indiscriminately, unfortunately. They don't care. They are still defiant to the international rules and regulations. So we want people to understand our pain. We want people to understand what exactly we are, suffering from. This is very important for people to understand. We are not against Persians. We are not against anyone on this planet. As I mentioned in the beginning, God has created us equally. I'm always concentrating on this one or two lines, when I talk to people. God created us equally. We do not distinguish ourselves from the others. We believe in humanity. We believe in freedom. We believe in fraternal relations. So that's why we can sit with anyone that wish to sit with us and discuss the future of the region, not only just Al-Awwaz or the other, Turks or Baluch or Kurds. We are all human. So we need to share our pain with all humanity, with all people in the world to understand. We love everybody. All we need to just, change this regime. This is our main goal, our main aim. And then move towards something which is self-determination. I think, everybody wants to live in dignity, loves to live in freedom. So that's why we are concentrating on this point at this stage, at this phase, to see what's going to happen in the future.
Right. And I mentioned, and I did want to reiterate that your problem is not with the Persian people. It is with the brutal regime. Now, you did mention you need support from everywhere. Has the United States, I know you mentioned that you spoke at a conference where Mike Pompeo attended. Did the United States give you any support for your movement or anything like that?
Well, the support, it comes just from our own people only, within the community, within the ASMLA, unfortunately. We are expecting, yes, some support to come to us politically, first of all. And secondly, maybe financial support should be there, must be there, because we have got a TV, we are spending lots of money, and that comes only from our own pockets, nothing. There is no support, unfortunately, from any part at this phase, which is very important anyway. A movement like this needs some first political support. Secondly, even the financial support could keep us moving, towards our goals, our plans, which is just, I can say, very, very good plans. It is not against anybody in the region, first of all, and not against any race at all. As you mentioned also, yes, in Iran consists of different nationalities, different languages, different people. Persians are there, then Arabs are there, Turks are there, Baluch are there, and Kurds are there. We have to respect all. We have to respect all and then build up a specific strategy that could help the people to get rid of this brutal and notorious regime.
Right, definitely agree with that. Now, moving on a little bit, just so we get a little more background and context, could you just go over, some of the history of Awazi's. You know, I know it's been a decade long struggle. You know, how you guys are treated in Iran. Are you, do you guys face discrimination from the government and things like that? And did that change after the 1979 revolution? I guess it's a question for both of you.
You know, 1925, it was invaded and occupied. That is okay. That's the, we don't want to go and blame anyone anyway, you know. Politically, it was happened. Okay, happened now. Now, for example, Israel. If you look at Israel, there are Arabs inside Israel. They live in dignity and freedom. There is no problems. So, you know, then we are also in Iran. They're supposed to take care of the people anyway. You know, we have got, as Mr. Said mentioned, that 85 to 90% of the oil, it is there. 100% of the gas, it is there. Fertile land. And you can say 76% of the produce is moving out from Al-Ahwaz to other parts of Iran. So then, you know, all these things is going from there. Then why our people live in poverty? A complete poverty, living on less than half a dollar a day. So imagine less than half a dollar a day. No nation nowadays in any part of the world live on less than half a dollar a day.
So is this the poor, yeah. Is this the poor, yeah, section?
That's right. Even in Africa also, if Bangladesh, the poorest country in the world, as they classified it anyway, you know, they live on at least $10 a day or $5 a day. Whereas the Ahwazi people who live on the richest land of the Middle East live on less than half a dollar a day. It is unbelievable. On the other hand, they are, you know, distributing drugs freely between the people, between the youth, to damage their structure and to damage their future. This is the regime of Iran, unfortunately. We know that they are, you know, I mean, dealing in drugs, dealing in so many other, illegal, you know, products. But drugs, it was something that we were not believing unless we had seen it. Yes, drugs freely between the people to damage the youth, you know, and their future, unfortunately. So right. Imagine, this is the crime anyway. We are trying to convey it, to show it to the people. Many countries are not aware, unfortunately. You look at European countries, still they are dealing with the Iranian regime, whereas they are, many of them are not aware, unfortunately, what it is going on in Iran. There is a vote. Apparently there is elections, but that is not election and not vote. The supreme leader is, you know, choosing anyone they wanted, and they let people to go to the streets, being too long line. Unfortunately, they're dropping their votes for nothing in boxes where after a couple of hours, boxes taken and burned out somewhere, and there is no votes anyway. So We are living in such a country. That's why we are struggling for our freedom, for our people's dignity. We want freedom for all, for the our Arabs. We want for Kurds, Baluch, Persians, and Turks as well. So we are struggling for everybody. And unfortunately, bad, you know, I mean, things is moving out from the Iranian, you know, advertising or whatever, the propaganda, it is entirely different with what it is the fact there anyway. You know, we are not killers. We are not assassins. We did not kill anybody. We did not fight with anybody. We are fighting just with a brutal regime, you know, politically. And unfortunately, they are using, you know, this against us differently, showing that we are killing people, whereas it is all fake and it is false and fabricated anyway. I mean, propagandas, you know, against us.
Right. Yeah, so I would say there's definitely a need for a movement like this. I guess this is a question for Mr. Said. Mr. Said, would you say that Awazis in Iran are treated as second-class citizens?
أستاذ سعيد هل تعتبر أن الأحوازيين مواطنين درجة ثانية في إيران؟
يعني إذا كنا متفاعلين ربما نقول درجة ثانية ولكن بالواقع هم أصلاً ما يعتبرونهم مواطنين في إيران يعني الدولة الفارسية اللي مستمسكة على جميع الثروات وعلى الحكومات اللي موجودة في إيران هي تعتبر أن الشعوب غير الفارسية أساساً هاجروا من مناطق أخرى وهو هذا غير صحيح لأنه كل شعب لديه حضارة ولديه أشياء أخرى بالأحرى الشعب الأحوازي لديه حضارة العيلانيين أكثر من 7000 سنة موجودة هناك فيتم التعامل مع الشعب العربي وكأنما هو جاي كضيف على أرضه أو حتى يبدون بتغيير الديموغرافية في أرض الأحواز حتى يبدون في نهب ثروات أرض الأحواز. وهذا السبب اللي خلانا إحنا كحركة النضال أن نكون ملاحقين من قبل المخابرات الإيرانية، فاستطاعت أن تقتل العديد من قيادات الحركة النضال بالداخل وفي الخارج، وبدأت حتى في أوروبا، يعني ماكو أمان لأعضاء حركة النضال وأيضا رؤساء حركة النضال أو قيادة حركة النضال. فبدأت بقتل السيد أحمد مولى في 2017 في لاهاي في هولندا، ومن ثم محاولتين اغتيال للسيد حبيب جبر الرئيس السابق لحركة النضال في الدنمارك، ومن ثم فبركت له وتواطأت مع الأسف الدولة الدنماركية مع الدولة الإيرانية وبدأوا فبركوا له أو زيفوا له ملف إرهاب وملفات أخرى، ومن ثم تم استدراج الرئيس السابق لحركة النضال السيد أحمد حبيب السيوي وتم خطفه في تركيا. فلهذا السبب اللي يجعل حركة النضال هي الجبهة الأمامية لمواجهة الإيران ومواجهة سياساتها ضد الإنسانية.
So Mr. Taib says that if we consider, if we are optimistic, we say that Ahwazi people are considered as second-class citizens, but it's not the case because they are denied their rights, their political rights, civil rights, everything, and that they also, the Iranian regime considers that the Ahwazi people do not belong to this land, which is not true because they date back to 7,000 years of civilization on this land. And the objective is always to take the oil and the natural resources which belong to Ahwazi community. And of course, the Arab struggle movement is a strong movement. That's why it was targeted by the Iranian regime. So first of all, the former president of Asmala, Mr. Muhammad Ahmed Moula, was killed in 2017 in Lahai in the Netherlands. Vice president. He's not president. And the president, Mr. Habib Jabbar, escaped to assassination trials in Denmark. So the Danish intelligence is aware that the leaders of Asmala are targeted by Iranian intelligence also. And after that, they fabricated accusations against Habib Jabbar, former president, and against the responsible for media communication. So two or three people from the Asmala movement, they accused them of terrorism and espionage to Saudi Arabia, which is not true. And also they lured Mr. Habib Asyut, former president, to Turkey, and then they kidnapped him and forced him to give false accusation under torture. So this is what happened to all leaders of Asmala. Because it's a strong movement and it calls for freedom and justice and human rights of the Ahwazi people.
Right. And just to piggyback off that, you mentioned Habib Asyut, who's kidnapped in Turkey. Do you know about his whereabouts? Like what happened to him or, you know, what's happening there?
Well, he's under torture now. Yeah, unfortunately, we have no news, no information, you know, from that end so far. It's very tough. Everything is locked anyway, you know, they kept him in concealment. So that's why we are certain that he's under torture. They are trying to, take as much as they can information. And then we think that they're going to execute him subsequently. This is what's going to happen. This is their systems anyway, you know. We can't change it. Yeah.
So have you guys, I mean, I'm assuming you guys are living in exile currently. You can't return back to Iran or Awaz. Have you been threatened or harassed by, you know, the regime?
Sorry, I didn't catch you. Sorry.
So you guys, I'm assuming, are living in exile. I know. You guys aren't able to return back.
Of course, no. Of course we can't. You know, we are here. I'm living in London and Mr. Said lives in Sweden. We are still in danger. So imagine when we go back, we're going to get executed on arrival.
Right.
We do not hesitate anyway. Yeah, that is no way.
Right. So living in exile, have you been harassed by the regime, or you kind of been a little too far for that?
Well, we are not allowed, you know, for instance, not to move from one part to the other, one point to other, another point, you know, freely or easily. So we have to take all the precautions in length. We have to look around. We have to inform the authorities, you know, before we leave our, you know, places here. For instance, you know, just a few weeks back, I got a call anyway from these people here. Very good. I mean, they're taking care. Did you feel unsafe, or you want us to do something? Said, no, thank you very much. We are safe here. But again, you should take care of us. They said, obviously, we are taking care of you. So it means we are here also, we are in danger as well. You know, they are trying to send their agents to assassinate or kidnap. This is, our names are there on the table. Our names on the table to be kidnapped, to be assassinated, or to anyway fabricate something against us, to like what they did with Habib Jabbar, put us in jail and get rid of us. This is their plan at this stage.
Right. And Manel, if you want to ask Mr. Saeed, you're the president, so you obviously have a huge role. Do you ever live in fear of your life? And, you know, have you received any threats or harassment?
أستاذ سعيد يعني حضرتك الرئيس الحركة يعني هذا دور كبير في تهديدات أو أي ضغوطات عليك يعني كرئيس؟
نعم هذا موجود يعني كل يوم نشاهد العديد من التهديدات اللي يرسلون علينا عن طريق الوسائل التواصل الاجتماعي طبعا أنا تكلمت ويا المخابرات السويدية ويعني بدأوا نوعا ما يشتغلون على موضوع الأمن لي ولي وعائلتي أيضا وحتى يعني اضطريت إنه أغير مكاني عدة مرات ولكن هذا نضال شعبنا يعني إحنا صار لنا 96 عام صار لنا 96 عام الناضل من أجل حريتنا ومن أجل حق تغيير مصيرنا ومن أجل إرجاع سيادتنا لشعبنا فمن الطبيعي يعني يتم محاربتنا بكل الجهات أما من خلال تصفيتنا سياسيا وأما من خلال احتقال أو يعني طبعا أنا كنت معتقل في الأحواز وبعدين حكموا عليه حكم الإعدام ومن ثم غيروا الحكم الإعدام إلى الأبد وبعدين هربت من السجن وإجيت التحقت بالقيادة الحركة هنا واستمرينا بالعمل ولا يزال يعني هذا موجود مو فقط على الأحوازيين لا على جميع تنظيمات الشعوب غير الفارسية.
So Mr. Saeed said that he received a lot of threats and harassment on social media, especially death threats. So he alarmed the Swedish intelligence about that. So now they are surveilling him, and he was obliged to change his home so many times. He is under surveillance with his family. But he is aware of the dangers of his position, and he knows that this is part of his struggle as a citizen for the sovereignty of the people of Al-Ahwaz and for freedom and justice for his population. And also he was arrested in Iran. When he was in Iran, he was arrested and they wanted to execute death penalty. Then they changed into prison for life. But he escaped and he came to Europe and then he joined the movement here and continue his struggle for his people.
Okay, just an interesting point that you mentioned that he escaped from prison. So I'm just wondering how are you able to do that?
كيف حضرتك يعني هربت من السجن في إيران يعني كتير صعب يعني هو حاب يعرف يعني.
يعني هي المقاومة طبعاً إحنا لما سجنونا أخذونا إلى شمال غرب إيران يعني تقريبا شمال شرق إيران يعني تقريباً يبعد عن منطقة الأحواز 2500 كيلومتر بالسيارة هذا اللي إذا يروحون هناك تمكنت المقاومة الأحوازية بطرق مختلفة إنه طلعن من السجن مع السجان اللي هناك موجود.
Okay, so when he was in prison there, he was removed to another prison from far away from Ahwaz, 2,005 kilometers from northeast Ahwaz, and the Ahwazi resistance managed to kidnap him and to free him from prison.
And interesting. So also, Dr. Khalaf, you've been arrested yourself. You care to elaborate on that experience? You know, what were you doing? And how were you freed?
Well, in Muhammara, as they call it, Karamshar, the Iranian call it Karamshar, you see the original name, it is Muhammara. I was taken several times to Sawak. Sawak is the intelligent, you know, I mean, headquarter in Kutu Sheikh, the second part of Muhammara. I was taken several times, more than five times anyway. First time I was not tortured, second time I was not, third time I was tortured, fourth time I was tortured, and fifth time I was tortured very badly. In Bandar Abbas also I was tortured, and my eye is one of the, if you look at my eye, that is one of that. And here my chest was broken very badly. If I show you, you're gonna see it. And there is a bullet, a steel, taken out, but it is still here. I can show it to you. Let me show you that one. Sorry, Dr. Manal, yeah?
Okay, no problem.
Many are not aware of this because I never complain too much. Here.
Oh, wow. It's incredible to survive that, yeah.
That's the bullet, yeah. That was, I was shot in Muhammad when I was running away from them during the black, they call it a Black Wednesday, you know, Al-Arba' al-Sawda. Okay, I was shot twice, in fact, but one, it is here, not that much. It was far away. But this one, I was on the verge of passing away anyway. I was saved by doctors in Muhammad at that time anyway. So we all tortured, we all taken to jails. We all, you know, I mean, none of the leaders of ASMLA or even other also, you know, movements or parties as well, they've been tortured by the Iranian especially regime anyway. But during the Shah time, to be very frank with you, people were suffering very badly, but it was slightly better. But anyway, we were under occupation, so our goal or our aim was just to free our people anyway and change their lifestyle, you know. You can't imagine when you see an 80 years old lady carries a gas bottle on her shoulder, you know, and the other, you know, guys are enjoying our oil and gas and fertile land anyway, and we are suffering. That is, again, no problem. All we want is we want to shake hand with the decision makers, and we want them to just, change this regime, first of all. The main problem is the regime now, not the problems which we are facing with anyway. Regime should be changed and change the people's life and get into the right path. That is what we are planning today. And I hope tomorrow gonna be another day anyway. Let's hope for the best.
Right, and on that point, I guess this is a question for both of you, so both of you can answer this. What do you hope to achieve in the next decade? Do you guys see an independent state on the horizon, or are you just hoping for a regime change?
Well, you know, regime change is our main goal now, today. Not only us, Turks, Baluch, and even Persians as well. You know, everyone around in this geography wants the regime to change, to get changed as quick as possible. because they are assassins, they are killers, they are, you know, persecuting people, they are jailing, displacing. I don't know what they are doing anyway. They're just like aliens anyway. They have come from another planet just to kill people in this part of the world or change the whole systems in the Middle East, wiping this country and that country from the map. So imagine, yes, we want to be independent. We are struggling, as I said, for our people's freedom and independency and for our people's dignity. So this is what exactly you want. But anyway, again, we understand the power equation, power balances in the region. We know United States has interest there, so we are with them. We know that there are, you know, in the Middle East, we have got Israel as a friend, we have got United States, we have got European communities, we have got all people around. You know, we believe in all, we believe in freedom, and that is the main things that we are thinking of. But at the same time, yes, we want our people to be independent, we want the people to be free, we want our people to be part of the international community. And we need to have a fraternal relation with all nations around the world. We wish to see our next generation live at peace side by side with the other nations of the Middle East and other parts of the world as well.
Sorry, I will ask in Arabic the question. Ustad Saeed, يعني شو المشروع تبعكم في 10 سنوات القادمة؟ يعني بدكم تغيروا النظام أو بدكم يعني يكون في استقلال ذاتي للأحواز؟
طبعاً إحنا بدأنا حول هذا الموضوع. إحنا نؤمن أنه هنالك في مراحل لتغيير هذا النظام. المرحلة الأولى تستوجب من عندنا إحنا كشعوب غير الفارسية نتوحد بعضنا مع بعض. أنه تعرفون أنه شعوب غير الفارسية في إيران هي أكثر من 70% من السكان في إيران. أنه إحنا نكتب أو يعني نجهز أهدافنا وأمورنا ومن ثم بمعية الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية وإسرائيل والاتحاد الأوروبي أنه يتم التوافق على ما بعد إسقاط النظام مع المعارضة الإيرانية معارضة الفارسية. هذا إحنا قاعد نشتغل عليه. هذا من جهة. من جهة ثانية أيضا طبعا من بعد هذا يعني إحنا نؤمن أنه ممكن تكون كونفدرالية في إيران وكل شعب يأخذ حقوقه ويأخذ يعني هو اللي يسوي كنترول على ثرواته ويعيش مثل بلجيكا مثل العالم كله. فنحن لسنا أعداء إلى أي شعب في العالم. نحن نريد فقط نطالب بحقوقنا ونطالب بالحرية. هذا من جهة. من جهة ثانية إحنا قاعد نعمل على تحالف بين الشعوب المتضررة من الإرهاب الإيراني. في هذا التحالف ممكن يكون من الشعب اليهودي، الشعب الإسرائيلي، ممكن يكون من الشعب العراقي، الشعب السوري، والشعوب اللي تم احتلالها من قبل الحرس الإرهابي الإيراني وبدأ من السيطرة على الثروات هذه الشعوب، بالإضافة إلى شعوب اللي كل يوم يعني محاولات إيران للتدخل في شؤونها مثل المملكة العربية السعودية، مثل البحرين، مثل الإمارات، مثل مناطق أخرى. فإذن نحن قاعد نشتغل على اثنين مشاريع. المشروع الأول شعوب غير الفارسية، المشروع الثاني شعوب غير الفارسية بالإضافة إلى شعوب المتضررة بالمنطقة. وقاعد نعمل تحالف كبير لمواجهة هذا الإرهاب اللي فقط هدفه اغتيال البشر.
Mr. Saeed, I think that there is a kind of a technical problem.
It might be an echo. It's good now though.
Okay, thank you. So Mr. Said spoke about the two projects. So the first project is to in order to do the regime change, there should be unity between non-Iranian peoples like Kurds, Turks, Baluch, etc. So for the first step, now they come together with these communities and these peoples in order to have a common let's say map together with the opposition. Of course, they need the recognition of international community, the support of international community, mainly the United States, Europe, and Israel, in order to after the regime change to have a new maybe federal government in which every community has its own rights and freedom and decides its own destiny. But of course, this comes when the regime will be changed. And also, they work with the coalition of all Arab countries and countries in the region, including Israel, which are victims of Iran terrorism, especially now the non-Iranian peoples, but also now in the coalition they have Arab countries, but also later on they are open that other countries would join this coalition to counter terrorism of Iran, especially countries which suffer from Iran intrusion in their own policy, like Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and United Arab Emirates, but also countries like Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and all these countries which suffered a lot from terrorism of Iran and Iran intrusion.
Okay. So I did have another question. Just piggybacking off of Iranian terrorism, Iran actually is the only nation in the world to list your organization as a terrorist organization. Can you respond to that? Like, is there any merit to, not that there's any merit to that, but is this just used as a propaganda tool? Like, why are you classified as that in Iran?
John, Mr. Said, or?
Either or.
Sorry. He said that, sorry. أستاذ جيريمي سأل عن ليش حركة النضال مصنفة من طرف إيران كحركة إرهابية. يعني إيران هي الوحيدة اللي صنفت حركة النضال كحركة إرهابية. ليش حسب رأيك يعني تم تصنيفها من قبل النظام الإيراني؟
طبعاً هذا شيء طبيعي يعني بالعالم. يعني أي دولة ديكتاتورية اللي ما تريد تعطي حقوق للشعوب اللي عايشة معاها، أي حزب أو أي تنظيم أو أي مجموعة من الناس إذا يطالبون بحقهم فهم هذه الدولة الديكتاتورية تصنفهم إرهابيين. فهذا شيء طبيعي يعني بالعالم، أنه طالما إحنا نطالب بحق شعب لوصوله إلى حقوقه الشرعية، هنالك إن كان أنه الإيرانيين أو الدولة الإيرانية أو النظام الإيراني كان صادق لكان يعطي هذه الشعوب يعطيها حقوقها. النفط يؤخذ من أراضينا، أكثر من 90% من النفط اللي في إيران هو يأتي من أرضنا، وأكثر من 95% من الغاز في إيران يأتي من أرضنا، ولكن شعبنا كل شيء ما يملك محروق، ممنوع عليه يشتغل في شركات النفط، ممنوع عليه يشتغل في شركات البتروكيماويات، ممنوع عليه أنه يقوم حتى في الزراعة. يعني إحنا كل سنة يفتحون مياه خلف السدود أكثر من 40 سد على أرض الأحواز، يفتحونه ويقربون كل القرى ومع محاصيلها وقت اللي حصاد محاصيلها. فطالما أنت تدافع عن هذا الشعب حسب عقلية الإيرانيين أو حسب عقلية النظام الإيراني، فيدرج هذا الشعب أو يدرج اللي من يطالب بحق هذا الشعب في قائمة الإرهاب. ولكن في المقابل نحن كل ما نعمل هو فقط لتقريبا عملنا عمل حقوق فقط لكسب حقوق شعبنا.
So Mr. Frank, said that it's a policy used by the Iranian regime to classify the opposition or any other dissident movement as a terrorist movement, because these people are calling for their rights and they are calling for equality and justice. And of course, because the Ahwazi community has 90% of oil, 95% of gas, and all the natural resources are taken from Ahwaz, but the population doesn't work in important positions, for instance, in oil industry or in gas industry. So they are denied even the right to work. And also they are denied the return of investment of these resources. Of course, they classify this movement as terrorist because it's a danger. And it also gives gives the truth about the suffering of the Ahwazi people, and it calls for the rights of the Ahwazi people, and it also calls the international community to sympathize with the Ahwazi cause, which is very dangerous for Iran. That's why they are afraid of this movement. But they are the movement is not aggressive and is not a terrorist. It is just calling for rights and for freedom.
Okay. And then I guess the last question for the day is, what would you have to say to the international community? To people at in the United States and Europe, what would you tell them about the Ahwazi struggle and the need for freedom?
Well, we're expecting their support anyway, politically, as I mentioned. But when it comes to our main support, as mentioned, we have got TV, we have got so many other, parts of ASMLA, which needs, a real support anyway, a part of the political support, financial support. It could help us to keep moving anyway, towards our goals, towards our plans, which is freedom anyway, and freedom for our people. So we need, at least, we've got the Arabian countries, like GCC countries. We've got Emirates, we've got Saudis, we've got Bahrain, we've got Qatar, we've got Oman, they are fully aware of our struggle. They are fully aware of Al-Ahwaz that used to be independent for thousands of years, and it was only invaded and occupied by Iran in 1925. Obviously, they could, support us at least, but we did not get anything so far from them. So we need their support. That enables us to keep our, struggle movement moving, and at least design a better future for our people. That's it.
Thank you. And Mr. Saeed, one last question. Same thing. What would you have to say to the international community?
Ustedh Saeed, شو بدك تقول للعالم بصفة عامة للصحافة للعالم
طبعا احنا نناضل فقط من اجل انه شعبنا يوصل الى حقوقه، وليس فقط شعبنا، شعوب المنطقه تعيش مثل بكل سلام، تعيش بكل رفاهيه، كل اقتصاد مثل حال اوروبا، مثل حال بدون حرب، بدون اغتيالات، بدون اعدامات، بدون احتقالات، بدون كبت الحريات. فنحن نناضل فقط من اجل وصولنا الى حرياتنا. فليس إلا لسنا ناس نطالب بالعنف، لسنا ناس نطالب بالأكثر من حقوقنا. نحن على بحيرة من نفط ومن ثروات، فالمحرومين من أبسط حقوق البشر، محرومين حتى من أنه نسمي أطفالنا بأسماء اللي إحنا نريدها. هذه اللي هذا شعبنا اللي يطالب فيه، يطالب فقط في حريته، في كرامة، الكرامة، في أنه يصبح مثل باقي الشعوب العالم اللي يقدر ينتج ويساهم في العلم في العالم ويساهم في السلام في العالم. نحن لسنا أعداء لأي شعب في العالم، فقط نحن نطالب في حقوق. شكرا.
He says that we are only calling for our rights, and we dream that the series of killing and the series of kidnappings and torture to our To our citizens and also to dissidents and to journalists and people who are for freedom of speech will be stopped one day. So we are defending the freedoms, we are defending justices and equality. We are for a peaceful world, we are for a peaceful coexistence with the other communities, and we are not the enemies of peace. So we are not calling for a war, we're just calling for our rights peacefully, and we dream that one day our the Ahwazi citizen can produce, can be productive, can be happy, can have his or her dignity, live in dignity and in freedom without fear and without the pressure of the regime.
يعني هو ثرواتنا احنا تؤخذ من أرضنا وترسل للميليشيات الإرهابية لقتل الشعوب الآمنة بالعراق، بسوريا، بلبنان، باليمن، وكل هذه من ثرواتنا إحنا. فنحن نطالب العالم لوقف هذا الإجرام واحدا، وثاني إيران لست لا تستحق إنه تكون هذه الثورة هذه الثروات بيها. فنحن نشارك العالم في ثروات اللي عندنا حتى الكل تعيش بكل سلام وكل حرية.
Unfortunately, the Iranian regime takes the natural resources of Ahwaz and finances terrorism to kill people in Yemen, in Iraq, in Syria and Lebanon. So we call the international community not to have confidence in Iran, especially in terms of giving them the nuclear weapons or also giving them all these resources. And we want to share these resources with the world, with the communities there, because we are against terrorism, and we are against financing the terrorist attacks in the region, especially the militias in Yemen and in Iraq and Lebanon.
Okay, so once again, that was all the questions I had. Once again, that was Mr. Saeed Hamidan from the Arab Struggle Movement for the Liberation of Al-Ahwaz, as well as Dr. Khalaf Al-Kaabi, the head of Foreign Affairs Committee for the same organization. Appreciate you guys taking the time. Thank you again. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you very much. And special thanks goes to Mr. Ali, who facilitated this beautiful and lovely meeting anyway.
Thank you very much, sir.
Wish you good luck. And please convey our regards to your family, sir. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice Sunday.
Bye, you as well.
Thank you, Dr. Khalaf. Thank you.
Bye, my dear.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you, doctor. Thank you. Bye. Bye.